balls. Dragon balls. Dragon balls. Dragon balls. Folks, it's Dragon Balls with your host.
Wait, what?
Dragon Ball. Cut. Cut here. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Balled Out
Good Times.
It's Sunday afternoon. Everyone's played their intramural sports, and we're all relaxing here in the anime room, enjoying a good Oreo with a glass of milk. I'm here with my usual co-host, Alex Patak, that's me, and my co-host, Jeremy Hambone Hammond.
Oh, I love ham!
And Katie Hambone Roseleon.
Hello.
And Hambone to you. Now, this is the weekly update from your friends, the Ballers. You know, the part where we spill the tea. The part where we talk the trash, you know? This is where the gossip is, but here behind the paywall. And the gossip for me right now is my mind's not fucking working because I haven't been sleeping because I've been playing digital card games through the evening for days on end. And I can't form sentences, and I just keep talking into microphones all around the city. Just a nightmarish combination of things. I slept for 4 hours last night. I was next to Alyssa, who fell asleep at a normal time, and then played video games for 4 hours next to her, and then was like, it's 4 a.m. I gotta stop.
What are you playing on?
It's my laptop.
Jesus.
And I'll tell you this, it's a Mac laptop, and it's a computer game, so it just sounds like it's, like, wheezing the whole time.
Oh, do I know.
She's just asleep, and it's just like, but just for
hours.
And I
can't even imagine that's like a very strenuous program to run. It's a card game.
It's pretty shiny though.
Is it
Hearthstone
like,
makes it freak out too.
Does it have like animations for when like things happen?
There are these little imps that move around the card game board. We're talking about Artifact, by the way. I'm not sure if I established that. The new Dota card game by the people who made Dota. It's like cards, but it's like Dota. It's all your friends. Axe is there. Yeah, so they have these imps that walk around the board. They're like little happy dogs with wings, and they like make faces at you while you make plays, and they're like, tee-hee-hee-hee-hee, and they flop back and forth, and they're like, oh, good hand. And so I think all the processing power is spent on that.
That's amazing to me because, you know, as we've talked about before on the show, I was playing a lot of City Skylines for a long time, and that's like a very intensive, like, 3D rendering of, like, a city with dimensions and, like, flowing water and moving traffic and things, and it also made my laptop freak out, but I would think that, like, something as simple as some cards and some imps would be okay, but no, it's just...
I didn't have to process a transit system. I didn't have to process plumbing in the big city.
Can I ask you some questions? I've never played...
I'll allow it.
Yeah, thanks. I've never played a card game on a computer before, so are you like... Do you just buy a game and you just have free cards, or do you have to purchase decks like you would when you're playing Magic?
It's different game to game. Now, Hearthstone has an in-game currency that you can use, and you very slowly rack up gold. They give you quests, and so you can never spend money on it. It's like probably my most played game of the last 5 years, so I have spent money on it, but you don't have to. And I haven't spent that much. When I could just give them all of my money and I'd be a happy little card slut. But Artifact is $20 to get the game, and they give you all these basic cards and they give you 10 packs, and then you can play an unlimited amount of the draft version of the game where you like open packs and make a deck like you would in a tournament in real life.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then you play with other people. So you can do that forever and play with all the cards and it's fun. But I'm... I'm a rogue genius who tinkers with ideas and philosophies, and so for that reason, I spent an additional $10 to get more packs so I could make my own decks based off of my loves, my passions. And so now I think about those even when I'm doing other things, like recording a Dragon Ball podcast.
So is this like a Magic the Gathering type of thing?
It's literally by the guy who made Magic the Gathering.
Okay. So it's like a lot of
it's
like,
by Mr. the Gathering. It's by
Hank
the Gathering.
The Gathering.
Alan Gathering.
Alan Gathering.
The Gathering family.
The Gathering of the Game-a-Los.
So it's all just like goblins and shit and like wizards and walls. Are there walls?
Have you played Dota?
No.
They steal all the art and lore from Dota. So there are towers, which are like big Eye of Sauron looking motherfuckers that shoot laser beams at you. And then there are ancients, which are big crystals in the back. And you have to either destroy two towers or a tower and an ancient, which have twice as much health as towers. Mm. And it's different from other card games because you switch lanes, which is cool, even though it sounds lame. Just like studying.
I like video games.
Do you now?
What game are you playing right now?
We're freaking gaming again. Welcome back to the game episode.
I just don't get...
Get in the game.
If you're playing a card game on the computer, I get like playing against other people and stuff. And I get like the gameplay mechanic. It's so weird to me to get so sucked into a virtual card game when you could be a cowboy or something or shoot guns.
Be a cowboy.
EA Sports. I need to sleep.
But to be fair, I play like a ton of like Harvest Moon and Animal Crossing type
games. There's no like rhyme or reason for it. This is just everybody has an Achilles heel of a wound in your brain where something can worm its way in there and just replay itself over and over again until you've lost all friends and family in the process and don't know how to take care of yourself or like do the things you have to do anymore. And that for me, it's little rectangles that bounce around and I pick which ones and I go, ooh, 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 time for a big trade for value or tempo. Ooh, 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 ooh. It's 3 a.m, but I haven't moved in 2 hours, so I felt like I have energy, but then I went up to pee and I realized I do not have energy. Also, my cats are bad and they wake me up at 7 a.m. every day. And then when I've been drinking, like I have been this weekend, I cannot go back to sleep. And then I just start playing card games again.
Mm.
And then I see them when I close my eyes because I've played for so much.
Yes, you got that Tetris brain.
I have Tetris brain, but for fake cards. It is the...
Is there a real card game that corresponds to this? Like, could you play it as just like regular cards?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Jeremy. A lot of the reason... So I'm getting a lot of pushback on this. Why would you play fake cards when you can go out with your friends, grab a real card, feel the card in your hand? Uh-huh. It's all in the cards. Digimon Season 3. Why don't you just grab a card? Feel the card. Here's the reason why, is because you're playing in these computer worlds and a Digiverse, mind you. You're exploring, and it's not a world that's like your own. So you can add these mechanics of randomization and chance that are very difficult to duplicate in the real world. So, like, every time you play a card in a lane, there's a 25% chance it will attack left, 25% chance it'll attack right, or 50% chance it'll attack straight. So if you were playing in the real world with an unblocked creep or whatever, you'd have to roll a dice, I guess, like a 4-sided dice, and then based on that... You would know where it goes. It would be obnoxious. So, like, and there, so randomization and, like, you want to do as much stuff in the game that you can only do in a computer as you can to make it different from a game in the real world.
Uh-huh.
Because obviously it'd be sweet to hold the cards and put them in your mouth and then you have all, you know, you can touch the cards and feel the cards. The cards, so cool to have cards.
Okay.
Put them on your wall. It's a poster now. It's a whole poster of cards.
Okay. Well, Katie, what's going on in your week?
I'm, like, really worried about Alex.
I haven't.
He just talked without taking a breath about this game for 10 minutes straight or whatever the
fuck. Yeah, it's about 10 minutes.
I haven't missed work or anything. I think it's okay. I'm going to miss one podcast later. I was supposed to do 3 podcasts today. There's no way I'm going to make the other one. And folks, it's just a lot of podcasting. I had my first general meeting on Friday where I was trying to pitch Space Trash to someone, and that has not made half of the mark as building a black-green aggro deck.
Get your aggro deck away from
me. Oh, you know what's fucked up is it's a black-red aggro deck, and that's just how tired I am right now.
Katie, what's going on in your week?
Well, I'm just very overwhelmed with what's happening right now. I mean, okay, so I'm hungover because I had a party at my house last night, and it was fun.
We have our reasons.
Some of us drank last night, and some of us are hopelessly addicted to digital card games.
I also drank and played digital card games.
I've been playing a lot of different games, but one of the ones I've been playing is that new Pokemon Let's Go on
Switch. Oh, is it good?
Detective?
Here's the thing.
Detective Pokemon?
It's basically just the first Pokemon game.
Uh-huh.
How many no-knock raids do you conduct?
Just ignoring you.
It was at this point that I discharged my Thunderbolt.
Oh no! Pikachu's shutting down a mosque!
So how is it?
I'm genuinely curious.
It's like the first game?
It's like the first game, but it's weird because instead of fighting other Pokemon to catch them, you just catch them.
What the fuck?
The dynamic is if you walk into a Pokemon in the tall grass, it goes into the screen where you just throw Pokeballs at them.
You can't call it.
So they're doing like a Pokemon Go type
right.
of thing.
There is still like battles against other people, but you don't fight Pokemon and you level up through catching Pokemon. And it kind of annoys me. But here's the real question I have. So you go on the cruise ship. You're on a cruise ship.
You're already up to the SSAN.
You're always going to be on a cruise ship.
Well,
it's
you got
just like
that's,
real life.
You got to be on the SSAN. That's where you get cut.
And that's where Mew is.
Yeah. So
or is
I'm,
it surf that you get there? I think it's cut.
I'm fucking around on the SSAN. Because there's a little more choices, like, it's a little free-flowy, but anyway.
You can go in the pool.
And you know how you just, like, are barging into people's rooms
because
you weren't raised right, and,
Will you have sex with me?
I barged, you know, it's just, like, families with their EVs on their lap and shit, and then you barge into this one room, and it's, like, a pudgy sailor, like, he's a pudgy guy. His little sailor suit doesn't quite fit him, so his tum-tum's sticking out. And then there's a super buff Machamp just sitting on the bed. And it looks like to me that this sailor and this Machamp met up on Grindr on the
together.
Same hand. So it got me thinking, because it did not look like any of the rooms we went into, because it looked like a person sitting on the bed as a Machamp. So now I'm like, is a Machamp an animal, or is it something more than an animal?
It looks a lot like... It's the closest to a person.
What is the compass on this? Can you fuck a Machamp, and is it okay?
Machamp is daddy.
Can you fuck a Machamp? Can you fuck a Mr. Mime?
Right. Like, what the fuck? They have communities and a language, and it's like a person.
Yo, I want to see that bulge on the Mr. Mime. You know what I'm saying? I want the animation the same, but with like a bulge. And it like spins and stuff when he does moves.
Well, what do you think, Alex? Can you fuck a Machamp? Is that okay in Pokemon world?
So none of the Pokemon seem like they have genitals, so I guess in that way you couldn't fuck a Machamp, and they don't have assholes.
But in later games, they...
You can fuck a Machamp's mouth.
Certain Pokemon are gendered, some are not, but just because they're not gendered does not mean that they don't have, like, ways to bone.
Yeah, and they like, lay eggs in later games, and, like, there is, like, a reproductive system, so presumably there's some sort of sexual reproduction happening amongst some of the Pokemon.
I'm just saying, like, the Machamp is wearing clothes. He has thumbs. It's like upright. Does he wear clothes?
He just he's so cut.
He has like little wrestling briefs.
Right.
He's wearing briefs,
which leads you to believe that he's like
something.
Right.
Yeah, you're right, man. He's covering a dick.
Here's the thing about Machamp too, is he would not meet on Grindr. He would meet you on Squirt, which is an app I see on billboards sometimes.
Right?
Squirt?
Have you guys seen the Squirt app? It's like,
no.
It's like if Grindr left that pussy shit at home. it's like athletic gay sex, I think. I don't know. Everyone, you have to work out to go on it, it looks like. Folks, write in about Squirt.
Okay, so I think that
wait, which is the one that doesn't have multiple arms? Machop?
Machoke. You could definitely have sex with Machoke. Guess what his thing is?
It was a McChoke, not a Machamp, but like, same question.
Yeah, Machoke is a much kinkier name, too.
Look at his forearms. Dear God.
He's got like weird cuts in his arm.
It just looks like, he doesn't look like an animal. It looks like someone who worked out a lot. You know what I mean?
He has cuts in his arms because of a dark past you're not allowed to ask about.
And he's once
My history
again,
is mine to own. Machoke.
And he's wearing clothes. He's wearing briefs and has a wrestling belt on.
All of his muscles are in his fingers.
So he's definitely got genitals. But the question remains, is it okay?
I don't know if it is. But like, I can, you know, I'm just
saying.
But
I'm going to do it.
I'm just saying, it's confusing.
I think if you were going to fuck any Pokemon, it would probably be Ditto. Just because Ditto can become whatever you want.
Right.
You know?
And they'll probably look just like you, which is what we all want.
Well, but it's like, it could look like you, but it's got the Ditto face. That's the whole thing, right?
Look like me, but as a Machoke.
Ooh, I can look up a Ditto Machoke. Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
No.
Oh, stay off of squirt.com.
No. Ditto Machoke looks insane.
It's the eyes. The eyes aren't right.
Oh, God.
Okay. If I had to have sex with a Pokemon, because you both gave your answers.
I didn't give my answers. I'm more just like trying to say.
We all know it's Machoke.
Is the question, can you or should you?
Can you? I feel like we've already answered.
No, should you is more should the question you is the more pertinent I'm question concerned here. About.
I think it would be like having sex with somebody with like a mental disability. Like you know, like with the right amount of consent, you can do it, but also it's like really murky territory. And they have special attacks.
That's a really...
This needs to stay behind the paywall. Don't put that in the preview.
Out of all 100 of you, who will yell at me on Twitter?
Somebody is mad at me on Twitter for that Geronimo joke.
Wait, which one?
It was a rest in peace, George H.W. Bush, our first president, to jack off in a coffin with Geronimo's skull, which is an absolutely true fact about him. It is part of the initiation ceremony for the secret society. He was a part of at Yale. They fucked Geronimo's skull. I didn't make him fuck the skull.
Not even a
joke.
But
for some reason, I'm the bad guy for pointing it out.
You're just a storyteller.
I'm just a truth teller,
You're
man.
You're a truth teller.
Fucking put me on Opie and Jim, you know?
Oh, dude, somebody was yelling at us for Poddam America for the IWW episode, partially because Jake made fun of J. Edgar Hoover for secretly going around in a dress, which I understand the problem with that. I don't think I said anything about that, but I kept describing their policy as schizophrenic, and then they were like, that's rude to people with schizophrenia. And I was like, I've never heard of being mad about that before.
Oh, you haven't?
No!
Oh, you're... you have not been to the Olympics, have you, pal? Let me tell you, I... did stand up in Portland, Oregon, all right? Like, that is something you can get yelled at.
I know all about the things people can be mad about.
Yeah, that's in ableist territory.
You're like in the Twin Peaks of rage. Yeah.
It's interesting because it's like, I am very open to that kind of criticism to people, so I always try to be patient and open when someone comes to me with that. And there used to be this one woman who almost every set I would do in Portland, then she would like send me a weird message and being like, I didn't like when you said this, blah, blah, blah. Like, it would always start like, I'm such a fan.
Please,
and, like,
send me a report when you're done.
Yeah, and like the first like four times, I was just like, I see where you're coming from as something I'll consider. Like, thanks for coming out and always supporting. She would always start by giving me compliments. But then like the fifth time, I was like, I hear where you're coming from. I don't think you like comedy. And that's more like okay. A you thing. I'm not even trying to be shitty here. I'm like, it's okay if you don't like jokes. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know?
Please stop writing me emails.
Also, there used to be this really common thing where, like you'd be like debating people about shit and they'd be like, calling you ableist when you're like, you're being like a dick, and they're like, just because I'm bipolar, blah blah blah, and like they kept calling me ableist over and over again, and I finally had to just be like, I have learning disabilities, but I'm not like out here like
Katie played her trap card.
Yeah. But yeah, Alex, actually calling things schizophrenic is actually kind of fucked up.
Well, I'm not sorry, and go fuck yourself. And schizophrenia runs in my family. I feel like if it's a symptom, you should be allowed to say it. And I feel like then you can't describe things as cancerous. And I'm just not sorry. And I think you're dumb. And that's how I feel about it.
Well, on this edgy note, shall we move on to the dark passenger?
Oh, am I edgy now? I got a criticism. I got a live internet criticism that my jokes are not edgy enough, and it made me laugh really hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, anyone who has seen me perform knows that that is something I would never want to be categorized as my whole life. And it was like, they said, Carol's jokes are not edgy enough, and you all know it.
Yeah, that was the funniest part. Katie's edgy jokes aren't landing, and you all know.
Oh, fuck.
And you're letting her get away with it.
It's so fucking funny to me. Like,
just somebody watching you being like, this is nothing like Andrew Dice Clay.
Just like, yeah, Katie Rose Leon, we booked her for her hot takes on the Jamaican community or whatever the fuck. Like, it's just so hilarious. Anyway, I'm sorry to bring
okay,
that up.
Okay, Dark Passenger.
Edge? Oh, talking about edging. Beep, beep, all aboard.
Ribby, ribby.
My favorite consensual segment that I agree to.
Okay, today's Dark Passenger brings us to Countercurrents Publishing, an alt-right publisher led by comedian Greg Johnson.
Great.
Just kidding. It's just a guy named Greg Johnson. It's not that guy.
Oh, damn. I'm going to take my laugh back.
They publish such works as The White Nationalist Manifesto.
Mm-hmm. We've all read it.
Dark Right, Batman Viewed from the Right.
Oh, you almost killed Alex.
Oh, man. No, he is funny, though. He's good.
Okay.
I would just like to point out before we start this that it's the first night of Hanukkah tonight.
That's true.
Jeremy.
Okay. This article is a review of famed film Princess Mononoke.
Ugh.
Or Princess Moana.
Next week, can we do a Hanukkah-themed Dark Passenger?
It'll still I can be try.
Hanukkah,
right?
I really don't want to do that.
Oh, okay, never mind.
It can just be a loop of Jordan going, Super Saiyan Yosef!
Yeah, it's fine. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Review of Princess Mononoke. I feel a bit like the skinhead who went to see Cats because he'd heard T.S. Eliot was a fascist.
What an opening line! My God!
Oh, my fucking...
A tale as old as time!
Hold the phone. I picked up the phone. I need you to hold it because I have a lot of questions. So...
Is T.S. Eliot a fascist?
Is T.S. Eliot a fascist? Skinheads want to go see Cats, the gayest thing imaginable in the 80s?
I just love picturing
I'm just imagining a skinhead with his arms crossed looking mad. He's like, you know, this whimsy is not pure
This is not fashy enough. I just love picturing them all showing up at the theater.
Rumble
they got a group
Tum-tum
rate
the
together.
Right
how?
The skinhead group leader has to pass out their tickets to everybody.
How can you type that sentence without even a little bit of perspective?
Oh,
how can you type that and just continue on your life thinking that you're right about stuff.
So you go to Katz to see the blood logic of it and the pure ideology, and then they're dancing. And here's the question: do you walk out, or do you wait this one out? Do you see if it'll take a turn halfway through?
Okay, moving on. Japanese cartoons are very popular in our circles. They've even been reviewed at Countercurrents before.
Yikes.
The closest thing I'd seen to a Japanese cartoon before this is Twilight of the Cockroaches.
What is that?
I don't know.
I don't like the name of it.
It says it mixed animation and live action. It's over 25 years old. He remembers nothing about it.
It's the first Rwanda genocide anime.
But I like a lot of Japanese cinema, literature, and visual arts. And I figured that some experience with anime should be part of my education as both a film critic and new right thinker.
Here's the thing. Once again, I gotta ask, why do white supremacists like Japanese stuff when they hate Japanese people?
Because they see them as the pure ethno state.
Yeah.
That's what they like, is that it's all Japanese people in Japan, and they, like, worship their own culture, and they love themselves so much.
They're not gonna like Israel. It's the next best thing.
Go off. All right.
Okay, Princess Mononoke is set in Japan in the early modern period, before the banning of firearms. But the story has many timeless fantasy elements to it. Indeed, the theme of the movie is the clash between modernity and the pre-modern traditional magical vision of the world.
Every one of these sentences is pretty funny in its own way, and we just have to keep going.
Mononoke is not a proper name. It is the term of a possessing spirit or demon. It was never clear to me, though, who the princess is, since the only clearly possessed character in the movie are giant pigs.
Who's this princess?
The protagonist of the story is Prince Ashitaka, who has been infected by a demon. Why not call it Prince Mononoke?
Oh my god.
I have a complaint.
I liked some things about Princess Mononoke, like a lot of Japanese literature and cinema. Princess Mononoke gives us a glimpse into the pagan, polytheistic mentality Europeans had before the coming of the desert monotheisms.
What about this is European, my dude?
It gives you no glimpse. It gives you a glimpse into a polytheism of Japan.
Yeah, it's like all based on like folklore. Japanese folklore from Japan.
Let's see.
Kill all nerds. I'm fash against nerds now.
Oh wow, the real fascist.
Let's see. Let's move down a little bit. Princess Mononoke is shockingly adult and violent for a cartoon. You would not want to show it to children. I think that's. It's for children.
Children love it.
It's a whimsical, lovely.
They freaking love it.
Well, I mean, there is like fighting and blood and stuff in it. I wouldn't show
Billy
it to.
Bob
I
Thornton.
Wouldn't show Princess Mononoke to like a 5-year-old. I would show it to like a middle school age.
I would, because I'm fucking sick in the head.
The American version also uses a host of extremely annoying American accented voice actors. This guy is on some fucking subs versus dub shit on his first anime.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, fucking.
My man is advanced. He wants Billy Bob Thornton out of the movie. Super donkey piss. That's not a thing someone would say.
I found the animation to be pretty crude throughout.
What?
Fuck off.
This is like the height of the medium.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
Get out
Fourth,
here.
The plot was long and often draggy. Fifth, there was a lot that seemed, frankly, arbitrary. But if it had been handled just a bit differently, it would have seemed magical.
This review isn't fascist enough for me.
Yeah, really.
Just
why did this start with
nitpicky? I don't like it. More about Katz.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, this is from an all perspective. Like, no, it's just like a misinformed one.
I guess that's what it is, right? That's what the opening line is saying, is like, I feel a bit like the skinhead who went to see Katz because he heard T.S. Eliot was fascist. And then he's like...
But that's the review I want to see. I don't
want to
see
the skinhead who went to see Katz.
Rumble Tum 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 has no sense of pride in his race.
I think Mr. Mistopheles is a race traitor. Let's see, maybe it finishes here. My core objection to this movie, however, is the moral confusion at the heart of it. The cause of the forest spirit is just. Iron Town is simply evil. But our hero, Ashitaka, does not see it that way. He spends the whole movie speeding around in his earnest but dumb fashion, trying to prevent conflict rather than taking the right side. His motive seems to be an absolute injunction against, quote, hate, which is a shockingly stupid value system. Is this an outgrowth of Buddhism or a sign of Christian or Western liberal influence?
Yo, you idiot.
You know he just doesn't like the town because it's full of broads.
It's also like, it's so funny how he's having trouble dealing with the concept of nuance.
He's really diving in here, though.
Whatever the answer, it made it impossible for me to regard Ashitaka as a hero. Frankly, I expected better from the Japanese. Closing out strong.
This guy's my new favorite fash writer, I think, more than the other guy.
This is from Trevor Lynch. We'll have to look into more Trevor Lynch works in the future.
You're the next Jordan Trueheart. I love you.
Jared Trueheart.
Just Jared.
All right, should we get into the episode?
Okay, yeah. I enjoyed that. That was a surprisingly tame movie review.
Oh, he's got a review of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
I don't want to. But
it's not funny enough.
Oh, he's got a solo one? All right.
We have so much Dragon Ball to cover here.
All right, let's cover Dragon Ball.
So, folks, we're watching Dragon Ball GT. Who's with me?
I mean, I'm physically with you. I watched it, yeah.
Can you make some noise? Let me hear some noise. All right, this party's started. This episode is called Hidden Danger, and it's about drugs.
It's about nothing. What the fuck was this episode about except wasting my fucking time? I hate this show, and I'm tired, and I want food, but I gotta save my tummy for Hanukkah dinner at my mom's. And that doesn't happen till sundown.
Well, why don't
the sun has to be down.
It looks pretty down.
I'm scared of the sun.
It'll be down by
4:30. How you like this, Alex? How you like it when you're trying to talk and then someone shouts over it?
Okay, ready? I'm gonna get going. we're gonna do it.
I had a fan on my fucking Twitter thread recently when I due to the giant bomb fallout, and like one of them was like, I actually like All Systems Goku and they aren't mean to their female co-hosts.
Because they don't have a female co-host. We're allies.
That's not better. Nice try. This episode is called Hidden Danger, and it's about the church. Okay, so Goku, Pan, Trunks, where are they? They're on Metal Planet. They're leaving, and they're high-fiving each other. They're leaving with Giru. Giru, their little robot pal. Goku's a boy now. It's Dragon Ball GT. We open on Giru shooting a chest rocket at their spaceship because it's metal. But what's this? It's no normal chest rocket. It turns the spaceship into a normal spaceship and not a chrome set decoration. Everyone, high five some more.
I hate that they're all like, I'm so glad Giro's back. We love Giru. I'm like, no, like, is this like when, you know, the office has a PR problem, so they hand out I Love Our Office merch to everybody?
HR is cool. yeah, so they're like excited Giru's there, but they're really kind of like negging him this whole time and doing Kino to him. And they get in the ship and they're taking off, and Pan says something like, Giru, I know this is your home planet, but it stinks and you should find another one. And then he's just kind of like, well, I was just born here or whatever. they just move on. So their spaceship takes off. We're like, great, happy to be done with Metal Planet. I've seen enough robots. We all thought that. We all thought there's too many robots. But what's this? Their spaceship appears to be stuck. They all immediately yell at Giru, the man they just said they love so much. They say, Giru, you fucked up the rocket, you bucket of bolts. I know you never went to school, and it comes across, my friend. I'm not letting you anywhere near my spaceship or my daughter. They all say that to him, and it makes him feel bad. But then they look, and what's that? It's General Rildo. He's part of the ground, because he's the entire planet. He says things like, ha-ha, I've grabbed your spaceship. Ha-ha. It is at this point, Pan, Trunks, and Goku pop out real quick and blast him, kind of like in a Kendrick song or something. They're
and
just
it,
like
it was really fucking upsetting because it's like, wait, you could have just done that the whole time,
right? Why did it work? Because Goku blasted him a fuck ton of times and he's like, surprise, I'm a tree. But this time, I guess Pan and Trunks helping like fucking blew his body in half and he was like, oh shit. Oh fuck.
You just kept saying I'm so mad to yourself for like 5 minutes afterwards.
Well, because we did that whole episode on Rildo where I was like, wow, Rildo's the most powerful villain in all of the Dragon Ball canon, and then they fucking took that back real quick and it made me mad. Yeah, they blast at him real quick, like two, and he blows up in half. I wrote that it's bullshit. Baby grabs Rildo's body and yells, and it doesn't. You don't know why. He just pops up and with his horrible voice, he's just like, oh no.
He's like wet and gross.
Just like a hateful child. And then it's Goku, Trunks, and Pan having fun on their rocket ship. This had a real Cowboy Bebop feel to it, this episode. It's a lot of drifting around space, not really doing too much.
Yeah, except bad, so it's more like Cowboy Zippity-Doo.
Yeah, like a Cowboy Zippity-Doo.
Cowpoke.
Well, and in this one,
Jamboree.
The hot guy isn't as hot anymore because they make him make stupid ass faces the whole time, and the kid isn't as funny at all.
Yeah, no, he's Pan sucks.
Oh, we forgot to talk about relevant anime news of live action Cowboy Bebop.
Oh God, I cannot wait to see how many white people they put in that movie.
I can't wait to see Ed be over-sexualized.
Oh, yeah, God. Just a hot Ed. What we all want. Just a freaky monkey child you can fuck. Is Ed a machoke? Find out.
Who do you think is going to be Spike Spiegel?
Yeah, casting picks real quick. Any guesses?
It breaks my heart. He's my ultimate anime boyfriend. Y'all are just going to ruin it with some, like, snippety face from the BBC.
I know. It's going to suck. It's going to be fucking... It's going to be Sherlock.
Eddie Redmayne. I think it'll be Eddie Redmayne.
You know what would be great is if they did that thing that they did in...
Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars.
If they did like what they did at the end of Rogue One, where they got the computer animated Leia. Mm-hmm. If they did that, or they did it with Grand Moff Tarkin too. But if they did that with a young Harrison Ford and that's who plays Spike Spiegel, that would be really great. That would probably be ideal.
So bad.
It would be really bad.
That's like the only way you could make it worse than just like a young white guy now. It's just Harrison Ford as a hologram is Spike Spiegel. Lady Gaga is Faye.
Yeah, she would actually, she probably would be a good Faye.
She's a star. We all just have to deal with it.
And then
I don't have to deal with any of this. And I'm learning really quickly. Like, I don't know why I didn't notice it sooner. Y'all's lens of pop culture is bizarre.
Yeah, it's real narrow and bizarre.
On our Dragon Ball GT podcast? You don't feel like we're really with it?
The fact that we had to have fucking Ben come in here and be like, no, Katie's actually not making stuff up. And I'm like, fucking Ben Wasserman, the voice of reason?
Ben's very in touch with pop culture. He's never held a kendo stick before. Also, what is goop? I thought you guys were just being gross.
No, I'm serious. That's what it's called. Fucking Gwyneth Paltrow started it started as like a newsletter, and then it's like a whole lifestyle brand called Goop, and it's really...
Does it stand for something?
No, it's just like notorious for selling like bougie lifestyle products.
It's just a magazine you don't want to touch. You're going to get that goop on.
It's Venom the magazine.
This magazine's fucked up, man.
This fucking magazine's eating live lobsters.
It's telling me to buy an axe, dude. What? What the fuck? My magazine is watching Family Guy. How is that possible? All right, we were in the middle of this anime recap. I'm going back to it. Baby yells. Oh, they're on the rocket and everyone plays Twister. They're all bending and saying, like, your foot is in the way. Goku, your foot is in the way. Red, right foot, red. They say stuff like that. They're having fun on their spaceship. We're reminded of the friends we've met along the way. It is at this point that they spot a space pirate ship near a sun.
I hate this so much.
This episode sucks.
It sucks so bad. The concept of space is just wrong. Like, the planets are like a few miles away from each other, and like you can just see all the suns.
And they're
shit.
Like, basically, there's a Dragon Ball on the ship. They go to get it, and then Pan's like, someone's alive, even though the ship's about to be shucked into the sun, and they spend all this time. I fucking hate this show.
And the line is like, my conscience won't allow me to leave them here. Good day. I'm leaving with the Dragon Ball.
Constable, if this is your idea of a right decision, I'll be the wrong one. Hyphen Pan.
And it just all takes too long. It's taking forever.
I was just really bothered by the fact that the space logic is just wrong, and that, but they like still have to wear space suits and they ride around on like the Go Buggy Juniors from Futurama.
It's, yeah, the Scooty Puff Jr.
Scooty Puff Jr. It straight up was a Scooty Puff Jr.
They and all that- ride on Scooty Puff Jr. And they can fly, so...
The,
what?
The sense of space is like straight out of a like a lobby of a game. Like the kind of thing where it's like it's a space-based video game in the lobby where you're like picking between like arcade mode, story mode. Right. It's
fly like over there. Oh, falling into the sun, which is only four times larger than the ship. So Katie pretty much said it. They go inside of the spaceship. They find a Dragon Ball. They're like, this was too easy, and it's a trap. Oh, well, let's explore what else is on the spaceship. Pan runs off and finds a sleeping boy who looks like lettuce. I think he's made of lettuce.
Yeah, he looks like the Chrono Trigger protagonist made of lettuce.
He looks like he, if you ate him, you would get many vitamins and nutrients. And he has the same skin and hair combination as Captain Planet, which I did think was kind of cool, but he was totally asleep. They drag him around the spaceship and fight a robot. The only notable thing in here is at one point Pan gets shot at with rockets and then Goku and Trunks appear and catch them all in their mouth.
And Giru. Giru gets one too.
Giru's got one in his little mouth.
I actually thought that drawing was really cute.
It was a cute drawing.
It's the Naruto opening. Naruto always has stuff in his mouth.
I don't fuck with Naruto.
It's also, like, the fucking, this guy from One Piece, the green guy. He's...
Salad Man?
Well, he holds two swords and then he holds one in his mouth.
Dragon Ball and My Hero Academia is the only show in bullshit I'm fucking with.
Salads are huge these days. All the characters look like salad.
Anyways, they get off the ship with Salad Man, and he's dying, and they put him in the little life support system, and they're like, he's not gonna make it, we gotta get to a space hospital, and they do.
Yeah, they, like, call Space 911.
Once again, it was, like, in real time, I swear, with how long everything
I know, it, like, they showed us the whole drive to the hospital.
Do you guys remember that part where Pan was talking to Trunks, and Trunks was just like, oh, sorry, I was texting, what? And then they made her repeat what she was saying. So they go to the hospital, which is like a Rick and Morty hospital. Like, everybody's just like, gloop glops wanted in the ER. And then there's like a slinky man walking by. There's aliens everywhere. Katie pointed out there are just normal human beings. It was like, how did they get here? Where is this?
So
yeah,
they're,
like, all the nursing staff are just like very normal looking middle-aged women.
And then the doctor has like ant teeth, but he's a person.
I wrote down that he had a long, thin finger head. Because it's easy to say he looks like a penis because he's a long, rod-shaped man. But it's really more like if your finger was a whole person.
But so they're sitting around waiting for Salad Man to get out of the ICU.
Which, once again, they don't know this person at all. And literally, like, 5 minutes earlier in the episode, Trunks is like, we're running out of time.
Yeah, the Earth's going to be destroyed if we don't find all these Dragon Balls.
He's a damned orphan.
Isn't it good enough that you got him to a hospital? You could just move right on.
Leave him to his fate at the orphan hospital, where there's no parents allowed.
But surprise, you know what the big twist is? All along there was a hidden danger, because this boy who is made of Brussels sprouts wakes up and he has a sick grin on his face and he blows up the whole hospital room by room because
surprise is
definitely
dead.
Baby.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Green hair blows up a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Heath Ledger?
Oh my God. It could have been. It's 1998. It's possible Heath Ledger was doing this work playing the Salad Boy in preparation for Brokeback Mountain, which he had not done yet, and is probably his seminal work, unless you count A Knight's Tale.
Yeah, is this even like 10 Things I Hate About You era Heath Ledger?
I saw A Knight's Tale in the theater.
Is it good?
No.
I liked A Knight's Tale.
It's cute.
I like how sexy they made I'm so embarrassed I can't remember his name. The author?
Yeah.
William Anyone? Shakespeare.
No, it's not William Shakespeare. It's the other one who did the...
I don't remember. I
Prince
saw
Arthur.
Very long
King
time
Arthur.
Ago.
Man, this is going to... I'm just going to cut this out. I'm really frustrated. I can't think of the name.
Arthur Conan
The Canterbury
Doyle.
Tales. Who did The Canterbury Tales?
Arthur Canterbury.
Tim Robinson.
Oh, I'm so mad. Okay, well, that's besides the point. The veggies are twisted. And folks, that's your episode of The Premium, huh? So, out of seven Dragon Balls, Katie Hambone
One
Resley
Dragon
on.
Ball.
One Dragon Ball. Scooty Puff Boonier. this episode sucked.
I'm also gonna give it one Dragon Ball Chrono Trigger, more like no trigger.
Oh yeah. It do be like that. Yeah, this episode sucked. The show is bad. I'm excited they're gonna fight Baby on Earth soon. I am hoping there will be lots of fighting.
You know it's gonna be in like 30 episodes.
I'll be dead by then. Overexposure to bad television. Well, the real Dragon Balls are the friends we met along the way, so I had a great time. And now for the song.
We just put in the Jared Falseheart.
Falseheart. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. And now, right-wing diss track by Children.
Boy, Jared, you must have been off a lot, but I think this time you really did... Trash, 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 hey. Yeah, that's what you say. Yeah, all damn day. Another thought from that filthy mind and call you gay. Did you not know that your girlfriend gets to pay? I'm a savage, you better watch your back. You're with Luki, don't you say you're with the pack? You look like an albino. When we're done with you, you'll be falling like a domino. You are trash, just like your blue. So fat, won't share any chips. Your last name is Tumor, it's really more like this. Need Liam's help on math, you're not really smart. Got a chain on your pants, you really think you're cool? Look up to me, bro, I just bought a pool. Pull up in the Lambo, 100 on the dash. Get to my level, kid, you don't got the cash. Trash, 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 hey. Yeah, that's what you say, yeah, all filthy mind, call you gay. Did you not know that your girlfriend gets...